Word for translation, ta-ta. Oh, sorry. Wrong page. Itam.
Itam.
In these features.
In these features.
Bhavena.
Bhavena.
The matter of creation and destruction.
The matter of creation and destruction.
Kadita.
Kadita.
Described. Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Bhagavatama.
Bhagavatama.
By the great transcendentalists. Na, not. Itam, in this. Bhavena, features. He, only. Param, most glorious. Drastum, to see. Arhanti, deserve. Suraya, great devotees. Translation by the English, Ace Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The great transcendentalists thus describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the pure devotees deserve to see more glorious things in transcendence beyond these features. Purport. The Lord is not only the creator and destroyer of the material manifestations of His different energies. He is more than a simple creator and destroyer, for there is His feature of Ananda, or His pleasure feature. This pleasure feature of the Lord is understood by the pure devotees only and not by others. The impersonalist is satisfied simply by understanding the all-pervasive influence of the Lord. This is called Brahman realization. Greater than the impersonalist is the mystic who sees the Lord situated in his heart as Paramatma, the partial representation of the Lord. But there are pure devotees who take part in the direct pleasure, Ananda, potency of the Lord, by factual reciprocation of loving service. The Lord in his abode, called the Vaikuntha planets, which are eternal manifestations, always remains with his associates and enjoys transcendental loving service, loving services by his pure devotees in different transcendental humors. The pure devotees of the Lord thus undergo a practice of that devotional service to the Lord during the manifestation of creation and take full advantage of the manifestation by qualifying themselves to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bhagavad Gita 18:55 confirms this. Bhaktiyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tatmam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. By development of pure devotional service, one can factually know the Lord as He is and thus be trained in the bona fide service of the Lord and be allowed to enter into the direct association of the Lord in so many capacities. The highest glorious association with the Lord is made possible in the planet of Goloka Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna enjoys himself with the gopis and his favorite animals, the Surabhi cows. A description of this transcendental land of Krishna is given in the Brahma Samhita, which is considered by Lord Sri Chaitanya to be the most authentic literature in this connection. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Mantanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swami Bhagavan Yendarati Swaparantipam Mukam Karoti Vasam Pangam Nangaiti Guru Medkripatam Ahambande Shri Gurun Divitari Nam Vanchikalpa Trivisya Kripasim Divya Evacha Patitanam Pavlevya Vaishnamevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So this is one of the very last few verses, or towards the end of the second canto, and we have been hearing subsequent verses speak about the Lord's different manifestations. In the previous verse itself, it was explaining about the annihilation feature of the material cosmos, which is performed by the Lord in the form of Rudra, or Lord Shiva. And in the Prabhupada explains how this creation, maintenance, and destruction occurs by quoting the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 19 to 20. In that section, which is attaining the supreme, Krishna explains Bhuta Kramasa Evayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratyagami Vasha Partha Prabhavadyaha Agami. Again and again the day comes and this host of beings is active, and again the night falls, O Partha, and they are helplessly dissolved. Parastasmatu Bhavan Mil Vyakto Vyakatatsanatana Vyasa Savishu Bhutesu Nasyatsu Navinasyati. Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, the part remains as it is. So in this verse, we are hearing about two types of transcendentalists. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is conversing with Arjuna, this topic about which one is higher, which one is most complete in knowledge, is addressed by the Lord as he speaks with Arjuna. So the two types of transcendentalists that I explained is the personalist and the impersonalist. So the personalist in the essence of one who performs devotional service unto Krishna, one who accepts the absolute truth as a supreme person. So this description is given by Krishna in the first four verses of the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called devotional service. So how this happened, it is very wonderful that Arjuna is being used an example to actually show this point or this fact that the absolute truth in the form of Bhagavan Shri Krishna, the original two-handed form, is the most attractive feature for the pure devotee. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada explains that, yes, as we've been hearing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the last few texts, we're hearing about the potencies of the Lord in terms of His creation, in terms of His maintenance, in terms of His destruction. The aspect of time, the aspects of the modes of material nature, how matter comes into existence, etc. All these calculations have been given in the previous texts. The universal aspect of the Supreme Lord, material nature, etc. However, these topics are not the only aspects of the Supreme Lord. There's another feature which is most attractive to the pure devotee, and that is the feature of the Lord's Ananda, His pleasure feature, which entails His relationships and His activities with His devotees. So this is a strong point that is made in the translation and also the beginning of the purport. This pleasure feature of the Lord is understood by the pure devotees only and not by anyone else. If we just stick with this example of the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that gradually as Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, he not only gave him the most confidential knowledge in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So what happened when Arjuna heard all these wonderful things about the Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, the most secret of all secrets, the most confidential knowledge, Arjuna then once is intrigued and interested in actually understanding more about the subject matter. So he is first cautious about how are you able to have all these types of opulences? What type of opulences do you have? And then in the next chapter, Krishna explains his opulences. He explains how he is there in every single aspect, material and the spiritual creation, but specifically dealing with how he exhibits his opulences in the material cosmos. So he explains that he's a taste in water, of nagas, he's ananta, of the moon, of the stars, he's everything in conclusion. And then after Arjuna hears all of this, still there is an intrigue in him. He becomes, in the beginning of the 11th chapter, he asks Krishna, I would like to see this, I would like you to exhibit this fact about yourself, about how you are actually present in the material creation. How do you create and how do you annihilate? How do you maintain everything and still stay aloof? So the 11th chapter, which is the universal form, then Krishna manifests his very fearful universal form. It's explained that it is not a beautiful sight, hence it is not worshipped. Krishna exhibits his universal form. And in that aspect, after Arjuna is hearing all these opulences and after he sees how the Lord manifests and unmanifests his material creation, Arjuna has a little bit of a despondent mood. He's not satisfied in worshipping that form. He's not satisfied only in hearing the majestic aspects of Krishna's shaktis or opulences. Arjuna then starts asking, can you please go back to your original form, the form that I'm able to relate to you and derive this ananda, this pleasure feature of you? Can you go back to that form? So the Lord first goes back to his four-handed Narayan form, and then of course he goes back to his two-handed form of Krishna, Shyamasundara. And in those purports, I think in the latter part of the 11th chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains that a pure devotee is actually only satisfied with this original form of Shyamasundara. He's not satisfied in seeing the other expand. Not that the other expansions are insignificant or they're not worthy, but the most pleasure that is derived by a pure devotee is Krishna's aspect of Shyamasundara in his two-handed form, the original form of Krishna. So that Srila Prabhupada explains in the text 55, actually in the purport, that the devotee is attracted most to the two-handed form of Lord Shyamasundara. So after this aspect of Arjuna seeing the universal form and Krishna explaining the opulences, giving him the secrets of the bhakti path, Arjuna begins the 12th chapter, which is entitled Devotional Service, where he says, who has the most complete knowledge out of the two types of transcendentalists? Is it the impersonalist, or is it those who are performing devotional service, those who worship you? So I'll just read Krishna's words verbatim. Arjuna inquired, which is considered to be more perfect, those who are properly engaged in your devotional service or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? So even Arjuna poses this question not only in the beginning section of the Bhagavad Gita, but as it progresses, because the theme in the Gita, as we'll hear, is that it is only by the process of bhakti that one can actually know Krishna as he is. So Krishna responds, the Blessed Lord said, he whose mind is fixed on my personal form, always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith, is considered by me to be the most perfect. So here, out of these two transcendentalists that are being quoted in today's verse, we understand that the pure devotees are by far superior because they engage in a relationship with the topmost form of the Lord, with the topmost forms of relationship with the Lord. Not only to his majestic aspect are they attracted, but to the pleasure feature of the Lord, the feature of the Lord in his ananda, where we can be engaged in different types of relationships with Krishna. There's the five primary rasas, and then there's the secondary rasas, and within each and every single one of those, there's different subcategories, different types of specific relationships one can have with the Supreme Lord. And we see with this intricate understanding of relating with Krishna in his ananda feature, his personal feature, there's much more bliss, there's much more relish, there's much more completeness in the essence of our constitutional position. We get the most benefit and we get the most pleasure by actually engaging with Krishna in this way, in this feature. Krishna explains the shortcomings or the shortfalls of one who is attracted to his impersonal aspect. He says, but those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading inconceivable, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engage in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how it is so difficult to attain Krishna by following this impersonal aspect. That for the yogis and those attracted to the Brahman effulgence, it takes millions and millions of births to eventually attain Krishna. Whereas the direct method, which is by devotional service, the very direct and quick method of devotional service, one can attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, very, very quickly, as compared to millions and millions of births that the yogis are sitting fixed in meditation trying to achieve. So what is achievable by difficulty is easily achievable directly by performing the process of devotional service. So this is a very strong point that the Lord made very clear to Arjuna, that of these two types of transcendentalists, the one who is superior, of course, is the devotee who is engaging in pure devotional service to Krishna. So in the purport, as we go down, it explains how the pure devotees of the Lord thus undergo a practice of that devotional service to the Lord during the manifestation of creation, and take full advantage of the manifestation by qualifying themselves to enter into the kingdom of God. So the whole point of our existence is not that we have appeared in the day of Lord Brahma and we are damned eternally to suffer in this world of duality, but it is actually an opportunity for ourselves to engage in devotional service and to make that perfect exit back to the spiritual world. Now the way, of course, is always, as explained by Krishna, by the process of devotional service, by the process of bhakti. However, other persons see this process to be very sentimental. They think bhakti is not full of knowledge. It is a sentimental feat which involves different types of emotions, etc. However, they do not understand the full scope or the full vision of what the process of devotional service does for the conditioned soul in terms of purification and revelation of one's existence in relationship to Krishna. So when Prabhupada quoted the verse Bhakti Yama Abhijananti Yavanyas Shasmi Tatvataha Tatumam Tatvato Kyatva Visate Tat Anantaram. So he's explaining that when he appears, people, the general masses of people, do not actually understand his position, they do not understand his birth, they do not understand his activities. So they put down Krishna's feature of performing pastimes with his loving devotees. So specifically here, Krishna explains that when one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is only by the process of bhakti, once again, only by the process of bhakti that one can actually do this, because one gets full consciousness of the reality and he can enter into the kingdom of God. So this process of bhakti is not only is not just sentiment or speculation, it is actually a science that allows one to escape the clutches of material existence and actually enter into the highest type of relationship with the Absolute Person, the Supreme Person. So when we go back to the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that Krishna doesn't just reveal himself to anyone and everyone. He reserves the right to keep himself hidden for those who are not qualified. So the name given is for Krishna is Naham Prakasha. He is not revealed to anyone according to the Vedas. So for the impersonalist, Krishna always remains hidden. For those who derive Krishna's personal form, they remain hidden by this effulgence, which is in actuality Krishna's bodily effulgence. This is what the Brahma Jyoti is. The aspect of just focusing on the Brahman effulgence and seeing that only as the Supreme is a very limiting factor. And it is a philosophy that destroys the individuality of the living entity. So the example that the impersonalists give is that of a river merging into an ocean, that everything just becomes one. That is the direct result. Whereas Prabhupada gave us an example that, you know, the Supreme Absolute Truth is inconceivable, unlimited. Just like the ocean, its depth is so unlimited, it is so vast. At the same time, there's living entities living in the ocean. And at no point do the living entities, the fish, the squid, the clams, the oyster, the what, every single type of living entity in the ocean never loses its individuality. It never loses its personality. Although it is within this vast ocean, although it is swimming in the ocean of material existence, living entity never loses identity. So these are some examples we can use if we ever meet people on the street and they're going on and on about impersonalism. The common example that they give is the river flowing into the ocean. After liberation, we become one. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport later on that even after the point of liberation, transcendental service still continues. So individuality is still there. The service factor is still there. We are still active in our original state. Real liberation means we are being placed back into our original constitutional position as servant. And this mood of servant is there in all the rasas one can have with Krishna. It's prevalent in all of them. This mood to serve the Lord is there. So, for a pure devotee, yeah, this is mentioned that for a pure devotee, even after liberation, transcendental service continues. So even after we attain perfection, we're still continuing with devotional service. So another point that's been mentioned in this purport is that more in the translation, that the pure devotee deserves to see more glorious things. So it made me wonder, what is this deserving factor? How is it that the pure devotee deserves to see this Ananda feature and relate more to Krishna in his topmost form? If we understand the personality of Krishna, how Krishna is not only controlled by his devotee's bhakti, but Krishna, in relationship with his devotee, himself wants to come and become a devotee and to experience this pleasure in becoming a servant of the Supreme Lord and understanding all aspects of the Supreme Person. Now, a very good point to start at in trying to understand Krishna in totality, trying to understand Krishna's tattva and Krishna's rasas, is that we try to understand Krishna's birth. Krishna's birth, Krishna's activities are very, very peculiar. They are very extraordinary. And Krishna explains over and over again in the Bhagavad Gita, why is it that he appears, when he appears, why he appears, with whom he appears with. And he mentions that by actually understanding these facts, you will go back home, back to Godhead. You'll become attracted more to my topmost planet, which is mentioned in this purport, Goloka Vrindavan. You'll become more attracted to those sweet pastimes. So we'll go back to the Bhagavad Gita and we'll just analyze and see how many times Krishna mentions the importance of understanding his activities, understanding his janma, understanding his karma. We'll start with the sixth verse. Ajopi san agayatma bhuta nishkaropi san prakritim sam adhisthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. So Krishna explains, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So every millennium, Krishna is coming in forms of different avatars, whether it's his Purusha avatars, his Leela avatars, his Guna avatars, different Shaktis, different Amsas, different parts and parcel, different planetary expansions of Krishna are expanding into the material cosmos as a way to glorify the Supreme Lord, but to also attract the living entities and create a situation whereby they start practicing or performing devotional service. So Krishna is explaining, okay, first of all, understand that my transcendental body never deteriorates. I'm unborn. I will come millennium after millennium to perform activities. And in the next verse, Krishna explains, Yada yadhi dhammasya tlani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adhammasya tadatmanam shinjami aham. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna is not only saying that he comes as a human being, as whenever and wherever. So different pastimes of Krishna, where Krishna comes as Matsya, Krishna comes as Varaha, Krishna is coming, yesterday we were hearing the pastime of churning of the milk ocean, where the demons and the demigods were fighting for the nectar of immortality. Krishna is always appearing to protect his devotees, to uphold religion. We understand the definition of a demon according to the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is not someone with horns or someone who carries a trident with, like, you know, flames coming from the nostrils or the ears. It is those persons who do not accept the authority of the Vedas and the authority that Krishna is the Supreme. So that is what constitutes someone with the demonic mentality. They do not accept the supremacy of Shastra and Krishna. So that is a demon. So whenever these situations occur, on any planet, on any universe, Krishna appears accordingly. Whether he comes as Matsya, as a fish, whether he comes as a boar, or whether he comes as Kurma, Krishna is appearing. So Krishna is not limited. So once again, we start thinking about Krishna in his transcendental form, then that means Krishna as a boar is transcendental, Krishna as a fish is transcendental, Krishna as a bird is transcendental, Krishna as Hamsa, as a swan, he's transcendental. If you go to Albert Park Lake, you know, the black swans there, they're not really that transcendental. But when a Krishna appears in that form, his form is transcendental. So already it should spark an understanding in us that Krishna's birth is not ordinary. His activities are not ordinary. And that he appears in the material cosmos in his original form and is never tainted or he's never affected by anything material in its gross or subtle form. This is the position of Krishna's appearance and Krishna's activities. In the next verse, of course, that follows, Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanathaya sambhavam yuge yuge. And once again, he's repeating himself. In order to re-establish the codes of religion, at the same time to annihilate the miscreants or the demoniac mentality, yuge yuge, millennium after millennium, I'm going to appear. So again, Krishna is saying, I am going to appear millennium after millennium. So once again, the transcendental aspect of Krishna's appearance, disappearance is a wonderful point, and it's very intriguing. At the end of this second canto, we'll see that the sages headed by Sutta Goswami in Namaisharanya will start asking deeper and deeper into the aspects and the activities of Krishna. There'll be conversations between Maitreya and Vidura explaining the person Krishna. This is what naturally arises after hearing about Krishna's appearance birth after birth, millennium after millennium. There's a wonderful quality in the living entity of attraction, and that is natural. Because as we know, mamais famsha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasas tendriyani praktisthani karshati. That because we are trapped in this material existence, we are struggling very hard with the six senses, including the mind. However, with that being said, we are still eternally parts and parcels of the Supreme Person. We are of the same nature. We are spirit. So naturally, when we hear topics regarding Krishna's activities, there's an attraction that will grow. So after Krishna explains this again, The famous verse, Janma Kamat Medivam, Evam Yuvati Tatvataha, Dr. Deha Pranjan Manaitimam Etiso Arjuna. Krishna explains that one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode. O Arjuna. So Krishna, from the beginning of this chapter, he's explaining about his birth, his activities. And now he's saying, one who knows this will never again have to come into material existence, but he will go to his eternal abode. So once again, making it very clear that understanding Krishna's activities is a very pivotal point for us going back to Godhead. We actually have to try to grasp a certain understanding of the personality Krishna beyond just the maintainer, creator and annihilator. It is interesting that this is the one verse in between so many verses where we've been hearing about maintenance and creation, and then this one small verse is speaking about the supremacy of those who are attracted to the ananda or pleasure aspect of Krishna. In between hearing all of these aspects, majestic aspects of Krishna, is this one beautiful verse that we are reading today. So it's very, very important. And towards the end, when we skip a few pages, towards the end of the fourth chapter, the standard as to how we can attain this abode, how we can attain this understanding. The Lord explains that we hear these descriptions from a bona fide spiritual master coming in disciplic succession. In that way, by inquiring from that personality, that pure devotee, the pure devotees specifically, and humbly performing devotional service, we'll be able to see the truth. That will actually understand the real tattva of Krishna in full, not just one aspect, not just understanding what Brahman is, not only understanding what Paramatma is, but understanding who Bhagavan is. And interestingly enough, this year in Mayapur, His Holiness Keshava Bharati Maharaj was giving class, and he was saying, a very important verse for us to note actually is the verse that comes after this text number 34, because it really shows us the personal nature of Krishna when he comes to deal with his devotees. And when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are but part of me, and that they are in me and are mine. So this makes us understand that eternally we all belong to Krishna. We should all be in relation to Krishna. We are not for a moment ever disconnected with Him in terms of we're not supremely independent. We're always dependent on the Supreme Lord. So in this section, we're being advised to develop this pure devotional service that will give us the gravity, that will give us the title of deserving to go back home, back to Godhead, and serving in the topmost planet in the most special type of relationship with the ananda feature, with the pleasure feature of the Lord. That is the topmost type of transcendentalism, and this is what Bhagavatam is trying to teach us. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Judge of the Prabhu.
Can you explain how a devotee, upon attaining perfection, can have a relationship with Krishna and a motive for rental affection? Because I have to understand that this is already a Madhya Yashoda and already another Maharaj. So how does that work?
Okay, Krishna in the spirit, he already has a mom, he already has a dad. If we're attracted to the Supreme Lord in the mood of parental affection, or whether it's Vatsalya Ras, any of the rasas actually, it's not that Krishna has to become our child, but we have the mood of caring for Krishna like a mother. So if we read Krishna book, we'll understand that all the gopas and the gopis, the elderly gopis, they always see Krishna as their child. They treat him as if he's their child. That's the Vatsalya mood. Sometimes they get possessive over Krishna. When Krishna comes to steal the butter, or when Krishna comes back from herding the cows, they're always thinking, did he have something to eat? Does he need to be fed? Does he need to sleep? They have this mood of wanting to serve. Mother Yashoda, yes, is there. Rohini is there. But all the residents of Vrindavan who have this mood of parental affection, they show that affection towards Krishna. So it's not just that it's only Mother Yashoda who does it, but there's elderly gopis who have a parental mood, and gopas who have a parental mood towards Krishna. And in different pastimes, they exhibit that. Krishna reciprocates with them and gives them an opportunity. So we saw that when Krishna expanded himself into all the gopas, after Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and the calves and the cows, we saw all the gopas, elderly gopas and gopis, when Krishna appeared as their child, they were showing that affection that naturally they always saw to Krishna even more. So that mood, that rasa or that taste to want to serve Krishna comes out, and Krishna reciprocates with them in different ways.
Why the Krishna's form is the 200 form is the best form? Is the topmost form? What is the reason for that?
I don't say that. Lord Brahma says that. Bhagavatam is saying that. I'm just repeating. So it is the most complete form, because everything is, that's the original form. That is the origin of all rasas. Akhila Rasamrita Murti. That form is the reservoir of all pleasure. It is the fountainhead of all avatars. So everything is complete in that form. All the sweetness is in that form. And that is the most attractive feature, because there is no boundary of opulence or majesty. That is why the residents of Vrindavan, that's why the planet of Goloka Vrindavan is also topmost, because that's where this form resides. Whereas if we move away from Goloka, if we go to Ayodhya, if we go to Dwarka, there's some reverence in between the service, because the majestic aspect of Krishna is in the forefront. Not in the forefront, but is very, very prevalent. Right? If you have a king walking around with a crown every day, it's very hard to come like wrestle with him. It's hard to jump on him to play cowboys and Indians. You can't do that with Lord Narayan. That's sweet. You can't do that with Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha. But if you go to Goloka Vrindavan, this is happening. Because that yoga maya has that potency to remove that aspect. And it's just not, their love is not tinged by awe and reverence. That's why the original form of Lord Shyamasundar is the sweetest. That's the original form, which is the reservoir of all rasas.
When Mahaprabhu exhibited his why 400 form he exhibited to Gadadhar Pandit? When he exhibited his form, why 400? Why not 200 form to?
That was just one time. He was always in his 200 form. So Gadadhar, we should understand these pastimes. There are specific pastimes that the Lord will show the universal form or the four-handed form to Advaita Acharya or to Gadadhar. If the devotee is inquisitive, just like Arjuna, can you show me the universal form? It is not necessary, but the devotee is asking, and it was for a specific reason. But in general, that is not the form that the pure devotees are most attracted to. As it's stated, Arjuna himself used that example. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grand Shri Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki. Shri Prabhupada Ki. Gaurav Kamandir.